Sometimes is the Sermon on the Mount, and we have come through a lot of sort of challenging teachings, challenging words of Jesus. We've been calling this Rethink because we think that sometimes we need to rethink how we've been following him. And this sermon, this teaching of his, certainly has given us many opportunities to do that. We're going to continue in that today by really taking another sort of really fast 10,000-foot cruise through the next section of his teaching. And it kind of opens up for us where Jesus begins to talk about some pretty regular, pretty well-observed religious exercises, religious behavior that his people, the Jews, the people of Israel, would have recognized as something that they were supposed to do, recognized it as something that was something that they saw all around them, other people doing, and it was just a normal part of their lives. And so Jesus, he takes this normal part of their lives and begins to use it to cause them to rethink how they've been going at it. So we're going to cover a lot of scripture today, but we're not going to see all of it on the wall behind us. And that is so that we can get to his main point at some point today together before all the food at the harvest party gets cold. Somebody should say amen about that. So what Jesus begins to talk about here in the sixth chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, here he's really talking about the difference between an outward sort of expression, an outward righteousness, versus an inward sort of heart motive righteousness. We talked last week about how important what's going on in your heart is, maybe as important or more important than what your behaviors are. So Jesus kind of takes that thread from the last section of the teaching, and he pulls it forward into this section of the teaching. And maybe in some ways this is less challenging than talking about murder and adultery and divorce and the things we covered last week. But like I said, these are sort of normal everyday behaviors that everyone that is hearing these words from Jesus would have recognized, would have, it almost like they're so common that they become invisible. Like we can kind of go on autopilot. And so maybe it makes it a little bit more difficult to get into what Jesus is talking about. So I'll give you a hint. We're going to talk about a practice called almsgiving, or giving to the needy, which was a common practice. We're going to talk about prayer, and we're going to talk about fasting today. But like I said, we're going to move pretty quick. All of these things, these common religious practices, even for us today, they're all good. But Jesus is really going to kind of dig around in what our motives are for doing them. And so I want to jump in there today. And if you could just bring that first slide up, because I forgot to activate the clicker, or perhaps even know where it is. And there I go. I've got it now. So Jesus opens up in this first verse of chapter 6, and he really kind of sums up this whole section that we're going to dive into in this first verse. It says, "Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven." So I just want to let that kind of ring a little bit. Just let us sit in this for a minute. Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. Now, if you have been hanging out with us a little bit, you might remember a couple of weeks ago, our kids got up in front of us. Our teens got up and gave testimony to this idea of being salt and light, right? And we talked about letting your light so shine before everyone, right? Chapter 5, verse 16, this idea of living our kingdom life so much out in the open that other people would see it, that it would bring them hope, right? That it would flavor the world with this kingdom flavor. And then here in chapter 6, in the first verse, Jesus seems to sort of challenge it, like directly. Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you'll have no reward from your Father in heaven. So if you're like me, this sort of piqued my interest. I'm like, okay, Jesus, what in the world are you doing here then? You just said, let everybody see it, and now you're saying if I do it, it's not good. So let's look for some help in the following sections of text. So this speaks to this idea of giving to the needy. Chapter 6, verse 2 goes on. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets, to be honored by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. I'm going to keep on reading these top sections of the descriptions of giving to the needy, of prayer, and of fasting. We're not going to dig all the way into the whole text today, but I want you to listen and see if you can pick up a pattern. So let me read this again. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets, to be honored by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. Now we're going to jump to the next section, Matthew 6:5. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you that they have received their reward in full. And then the following section, when you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others that they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. So, if you've been listening, audience participation now, what kind of things jumped out? Did you notice any patterns? Did you hear anything that was consistent through these three religious practices? What is Jesus talking about? Don't be a hypocrite, right? We heard that word hypocrite. What else did we hear? Don't show off for others. Don't show off for others. Okay, what else? They've already received their reward. They've already received their reward. What else? They've received something here, but might not receive something coming later, right? There seems to be an allusion to that, right? Anything else? Check your motivation. This is perfect, right? Once again, Jesus is preaching the sermon to us through one of us. Thank you. Check your motivation. So let's jump into this conversation using this word hypocrite. It shows up and it's one of those words. How do you feel when you hear the word hypocrite? How does it make you feel? Somebody's got thumbs down. Like, it makes me feel yucky. Like, is there a better word than yucky to describe, like, not even being called a hypocrite, but just hearing about someone being a hypocrite just makes it, yeah. And here is this word being used to discuss somebody in all three of these common religious practices. So what is a hypocrite? The easy, the quick sort of definition of a hypocrite is an actor. A pretender. This is the way that it's used in the language elsewhere outside of Scripture. It's a person who professes beliefs and opinions that he or she does not even hold in order to conceal what their true feelings or motives are. This is a hypocrite. This is the hypocrite that Jesus is talking about in these texts. When you pray, don't be like the hypocrites. When you fast, don't be like the hypocrites. When you give to the needy, don't be like the hypocrites. So it gets to this idea of motivation. Why are we doing these things? And I think it's important for us right now in the sort of the arc of our following Jesus through this Sermon on the Mount, after he's just got done telling us to live this stuff out loud, after he's just got done telling us that what goes on in our heart is as important or sometimes more important than what our actual behavior is, Jesus comes through again and he says, don't pretend. And more than that, don't pretend so that you gain something from it. Later on in Matthew's gospel, in the 15th chapter, he brings up this idea of hypocrites again, and he pulls a quote from the prophet Isaiah forward like he's prone to do a lot of. And he says this, in Matthew 15, 7 through 9, "You hypocrites, Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you." And then here's the quote, "These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are merely human rules." Now, if you're like me, if you're listening to Jesus and you're following along from the top of this sermon, right, the introduction with what we call the Beatitudes and all these kind of upside down kingdom and flipping things all over, and now I don't have to just worry about what I do, I got to worry about what I think and what I feel and what's kind of my heart's motivation. This can be sort of confusing and very challenging and produce a lot of questions about what is it that you really want, Lord? How is it that I'm really supposed to follow you? Last week, we dipped into this idea that the whole understanding of how to resist these temptations and how to live a life that doesn't dispose us to murder, how to deal with divorce and adultery and the breaking of oaths and all of those hard things that we talked about last week, that the foundation of that was love. And not just love, you know, pink flowers and puppies, but like nitty gritty, hard to do it, unrestricted, unconditional love. And I think if we're pulling this seam, because we're in the same group of teaching, we have to pull this idea of love into our understanding of what Jesus is saying here. So if all of this is about motive, don't be like the hypocrites. Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. What is the motive that should drive? What is the motive that should be behind these common religious practices of giving to the needy, of praying and of fasting? What should be the motive? What's that? To make Jesus famous. We're going to get to that a little bit later, right? That's certainly in the text. What else? Love. Why do we do these things? And this word, right, that we use so often, and even when we try to get at it from the churchy sense of it, this unrestricted, unconditional love, like no matter what you've done or haven't done to me, I'm going to seek your highest good. That's kind of what it means. It's just, it still just feels so hard. So these sections, these three sections make it clear that if you're doing these things merely to be noticed, merely to have people look at you, to gain something from it in the here and now, who are you loving in that sense? Yourself. And here we seem to have this great dichotomy, right? This is the trouble with us. This is the trouble with our fallen nature. If love is this atmosphere in which all of life flourishes, if love is the very essence of God, it's the air in heaven, right? If this is the thing, then we have to confess that we're not great at it. And we're really not even good at loving ourselves. And here is the text, right? We love ourselves by doing these things to gain some kind of what? Credibility or social standing, or social influence, or power. And in the end, Jesus says, you didn't even love yourself well because this is all you get. This is all you get. You're not even going to get the rest of the story. You're not even going to get the rest of what God has for you. You're not even going to be able to experience the rest of what life in the kingdom is supposed to be about. So what's the curative here? We're going to, again, carve up the text and keep moving through it. Oh, all right, come on. There it is. For every one of those sections that we just read, it continues. Those sections have more information in them, and all of them resolve with this sentence. Your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Don't go out like the hypocrites and do these things. Instead, do it in secret. Now, what does that mean? How can you give to the needy in secret? Well, there's probably some ways we can think about that. How can you pray in secret? Well, at least we can do it not like the hypocrites on the street corners and in the synagogues, using all of these big words and babbling like crazy, right? Just keep on going. If we're going to fast, well, not do it like the hypocrites, not like put ashes on our face and tear our clothes and just look really stinky and depressed. Do it in secret. Do it in some way that doesn't draw attention to yourself. But somebody said it earlier, that we ought to be drawing attention to the Father if we're drawing attention to anyone. That our greatest act of love, whether it's giving to the needy, if it's praying, if it's fasting, right, is to point people toward, is to give people access to the provision of the Father and life in the kingdom. Such an interesting flip from being salt and light, right? Just a few sentences ago in this Matthew's gospel to this, do it in secret. Not like covert ops, but do it in a way that points to him and not to you. Let that sit again for a second. Again, if we had more time, we could dip into those sections and hear, at least in Jesus' day, how he would describe doing things in secret. But this whole idea boils down to this, right? This motivation is about loving others well, not for show. Righteous deeds should be done in secret and not for the attention of the onlookers, but the scripture tells us that our deeds are not going to escape his attention. So here's the deal. I don't know why I keep putting this down. I'm holding too many things. If you are engaging in this spiritual life, if you are engaging in these regular religious activities that we would say are generally accepted practices of our religious culture, and you're doing them for your own good, if you're doing them for attention, if you're doing them to say, look how spiritual I am. Jesus seems to indicate that when you give that way to the needy, you're not really giving anything. You're actually buying something. You're buying attention, right? If you pray that way, you're not really entering in communion with God, but rather you're actually communicating to the people around you how much superior you are to them. If you're fasting for attention, you're not really sacrificing your needs to be closer to him, but you're actually striving for a status closer to the top. Maybe you don't struggle with any of these things. Maybe you don't see how this pertains to you. Maybe there are a million other ways that we try to live this Christian life, that we try to follow Jesus, that we need to be very careful of. Seeking our own good, seeking our own status. So if it's not prayer and fasting and giving, then consider in your life what it might be. Rather than giving and praying and fasting for attention, we ought to give to see the needy rise, right? This is the idea of the kingdom, loving them well. praying to hear his voice and to see what he's up to, and fasting really to cut out the noise and spend time with him. Here's this great summing text that Jesus delivers here at the end of this section, that we shouldn't store up for ourselves treasures on earth: attention, power, influence, social standing, financial gain. Don't store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moths and vermin destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not steal. They can't break in and steal it. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. If your heart rests in his kingdom, if your heart rests in engaging in behavior that opens up the kingdom to others, if your heart rests, in a sense, in these efforts and motives to see the kingdom come in your own life, then you'll be blessed if you do. You will receive this reward that Jesus seems to be talking about. Now, I want to close with another section of scripture. I'm just going to read it to you. And it's from another translation of scripture called The Message. It's actually at the end of chapter 6. And I want you to hear this less of a teaching, sort of a correcting, because certainly the rest of this has felt like a little bit of a correction or a reminder. Oh yeah, I'm not engaging in this Jesus life for my own well-being or that I get something that I think I need, right? But this next text is a reminder to us that should actually bring some comfort, that should actually describe for us our standing already, that should actually kind of give us a place and a position that cannot be violated, that cannot be taken from us, storing up our treasures in heaven, so to speak. And so this is the end of the chapter 6. We're going to read from verse 25 through 34 if you want to read along, and it won't be on the wall. So it's story time with Uncle Bill, right? I just want you to listen. And I want you to listen with your heart, because that's what we're talking about today, right? Your motive. This whole thing has been laid out for that. For Jesus to describe for us where our treasure should lie, where our passion should be, and where are the things that we put our hands around and hold on tightly to. And it comes to this. If you decide for God, living a life of God worship, it follows that you don't fuss about what's on the table at mealtimes, or whether the clothes in your closet are in fashion. There is far more to your life than the food you put in your stomach, more to your outer appearance than the clothes that you hang on your body. Look at the birds, free and unfettered, not tied down to a job description, careless in the care of God. And you count to him far more than any of those birds. Let that sink in. Let that idea alone just begin to turn in your spirit. Let it challenge your heart's motives. Has anyone, by fussing in front of a mirror, ever gotten taller by so much as an inch? I've tried. All this time and money wasted on fashion, do you think it makes that much difference? Instead of looking at the fashions, walk out into the fields and look at the wildflowers. They never primp or shop. But have you ever seen color and design quite like it? The 10 best-dressed men and women in the country look shabby alongside of them. If God gives such attention to the appearance of wildflowers, most of which are never even seen, don't you think he'll attend to you, take pride in you, do his best for you? What I'm trying to do here, this is the text, what I'm trying to do here is to get you to relax. Do not be so preoccupied with getting so that you can respond to God's giving. What's your heart's motivation? Why are you doing these things to be seen, to gain? What is the reward that you're after? Jesus is laying it out here in a way that melts my heart. What I'm trying to do here is to get you to relax, to not be so preoccupied with getting so you can respond to God's giving. People who don't know God and the way that he works, well, they fuss over all these things. They pretend to be things. They do what they have to do to get what they think that they need. But you know both God and how he works. So steep your life in God reality, in God initiative, in God provisions. Don't worry about missing out. And you'll find all your everyday human concerns are met. I will say this, in another translation, it reads this way, and you might have heard it before. Seek first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Did you know that that text came in this spot in Jesus professing his love for you and for me? Jesus proclaiming your identity and my identity in the fold of God's love perfectly forever? Did you know that that's where that came? The text continues. Give your entire attention to what God is doing right now. And don't get worked up about what may or may not happen tomorrow. God will help you deal with whatever hard things come when they come. What is your heart's motive? Why are you striving? In what ways do you and I act and pretend? Jesus seems to give us really, 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 really good news here. Really good news. That all that striving actually doesn't get us anywhere, and so we can stop. All of this teaching so far in the Sermon on the Mount, all these hard things, band, you can come on up, all of these hard things that we've wrestled with, what I'm trying to do is get you to relax, Jesus says. And if your motive, if you would just turn your heart and your head and your hands and your feet and the strength of your backs and the conviction of your spirits to life in the kingdom, you will have what you need. Your status, equal status as his most loved, is secure. And you and I, when we live in that way, those moments when we experience it well, we're free to love. We're free to give. We're free to contribute to an environment where everyone around us flourishes. And I think, what a beautiful message Jesus gives us there. For some of us, correction. For all of us, actually for all of us, correction. For all of us, encouragement. For all of us, a beautiful, secure future and hope in his love. Let's pray. God, we're quite sure that all of this is still confusing for us.